Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Well, it was a hot one over here. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our due time crew. And the dilemma, the relationship dilemma of the week was that husband and wife who wanted to get that surrogate for their infertility issue, and the husband introduced a brand new way of doing this surrogacy thing. Let's do it the old-fashioned, traditional way. Yeah, with the younger sister, who had already agreed to being the couple surrogate. Well, wife was not having it. No, come on. Now, you know, it's one thing for this to be my sister. It's another thing for it to be you and her in the bedroom doing whatever you do to get this baby. So she said, no way, Jose. And the due time crew absolutely agreed with her. So, yeah, you know, I guess that kind of went down the drain. And some people would say that marriage looks like it needs to go down the drain as well. So that was nice and spicy. Well, we could not finish a Monday morning if we did not get the switch tip from Shanti. Yes, hit that reset button. Oh, come on now. Come on. Look. Walk right into our morning's dilemma. Yeah. Hit that reset button. You think that we get ready to have a baby like this? No, you better hit that reset button and get yourself together. Because it's not going down like that. No, you must have lost your mind. Yeah, there's just going to be times in life where we're really going to have to hit that reset button. And, you know, thank God for the reset button, you know, where we get an opportunity to just rethink some things real quick and get a nice little start. And God is good like that at times where, you know, we get to rethink things. So when you get that opportunity, make sure you hit that reset button, okay? All right, now. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around. And had a brand new conversation. Yeah, this T-shirt thing. Yeah, people have lost their ever-loving mind. You know, when they put on these T-shirts, and, you know, some of them are just for fun. And you know what? Unfortunately, it doesn't always work like that. Just because you think it's fun does not mean that it's fun. Okay? Well, let's see. One of the T-shirts, Thou Shalt Not Try Me, Mood 24/7. Now, I had seen this shirt before Shanti's brought it to my attention. And I was like, I don't like that. So it's really interesting when she brought it to my attention, you know, when I saw it and she saw it, and we both, from two different generations, really didn't find much amusement in this T-shirt. Let's see the other ones that we saw. Thou shalt not neglect thy mental health. Not kidding. 24/7. Yeah, you know, there's a whole lot of 24/7s going on. Yeah, I don't know if that 24/7 is really amusing God. But Jesus loves abortion this much was another shirt that was found that people were buying. Yes, and wearing. Blasphemy is a victimless crime. And we know that is definitely not the truth. So, you know, we better check our resources, you know, and, well, sources, rather. We better check our sources and make sure that we're getting that right. We can't be putting stuff on that's erroneous and not true. All right, so hopefully we've learned that we just can't wear what we want to wear. Everything is not made for everybody, and I don't care how much it sells. That may not be for you, okay? All right, well, wow, Wednesday rolled around. And, you know, we got an opportunity to get started with Vivian's, what do you call that thing? Socially Conscious segment. Yes, okay. Well, again, we want to celebrate the fact that those COVID numbers came down and in all five states. Now, if that's not enough to celebrate Jesus, I don't know what is. Yes, and unfortunately, another one of our toddlers losing their life over these stupid guns that have seemed to become detached from its owner. 4-year-old shot himself, and, you know, hopefully somebody's going to pay the price for this stuff. You know, it's really not cute. It's not cute. It's not cute at all that, you know, our little tykes are just falling by the wayside because these dumb parents can't seem to put a grip on their guns. Okay? Let's see. Well, we're looking at the eviction protection ending, and black people seem to be faced with the highest amount of evictions, you know, past even our Hispanic partners. You know, so now they're trying to put some different laws into effect that not only, you know, just no one gets the boot, but especially those who are targeted. Okay, and it seems to be us again. So come on, let's pray for some justice. You know, it seems like God has given us more of a reason to pray every day. Pray, pray, pray. Okay, well, the ladies were in the house, and we talked about how to be more kind. And we have to learn to be aware of others around you. Yeah, you know, when you're doing things and other people can see that you're doing something kind, it can possibly be, you know, infectious. So we want to make sure we spread kindness even more than one way, you know, that we're even paying attention to. Well, how about lend your belongings? Now, whether we're talking about lend in the traditional sense or if we're talking about lending in the manner of, you know, literally, you know, giving somebody something, you know, just doing something. Either way, we know God will be pleased. You know, we have to remember that when we talk about lending or loaning in the traditional sense, we're not supposed to do this with interest. Yes, yes, yes. Cut the long face out. We're not supposed to, you know, lend money with interest. And then on top of that, we're really supposed to lend or loan, however you want to say it, without thinking about getting anything back in return. Yeah. Did you know that? Yep, that's one of the things that God tells us in His Word, that we're supposed to really give from our heart and not look for other people to, you know, give it back. Yeah. And if they can't, don't get all twisted. Yeah. Yeah, don't get all twisted. Come on, don't act like this is something new to you. Okay? Well, let's talk about the fact that on Therapeutic Thursday, we learned or were reminded that you just can't seem to hide from God. Yeah. You know, all of this news we do, you know, a lot of people figure, you know, they've done it. It's over with. You know, there's nothing else to talk about. You know, nobody got a chance to see me. And we seem to forget that you can't hide from God because He already knows your habits. You know, we talk about the enemy being able to follow you because he knows your habits. Well, what do you think about God? The master knowing your habits. Oh, that's an absolute thing. Not only that, he already knows your thoughts before you even get to the thing. Yes, he already figured you out. He already knows your thoughts. He still said, I formed you even before you were in your mother's womb. You really think you're going to have a thought without God? Come on, y'all. Come on, people. Now, here's the one I really like, because David talked about this one. He says, no matter where I go, you will always know where I'm located. Yes. How can I run from you? I can't go but so far. Yeah. So these are the kind of things we need to think about when we think we're going to get away with something. Because a lot of times we do. We do, you know, take for granted that, you know, ooh, thank God nobody saw me do that. Yeah. God knows everything you do. You cannot run. You cannot go anywhere where God does not know where you are. So I'm sorry to, you know, kind of break that news to you. That's how we spent our week. Doesn't sound like a bad week to me. I actually had a good week all weekend. You know, God has revealed himself in so many ways, as always. But each week, he always seems to pull up out that hat. Something you weren't looking at. Something you weren't expecting. Yeah, so that's always the highlight of the week, when God can kind of give you a powwow. And, you know, there's nothing that you were expecting. Okay? All right. Well, today is Friday Freestyle Friday. Not just Friday, but Freestyle Friday. And oh man, oh man, oh man, God has been exceptionally good to all of us to allow us to arrive at Friday unscathed. unscathed. Okay? So, you know, we are, what we got today? Well, what we always seem to have, we have the men with us each and every single Friday. Oh, we get a chance to hear from the men on Friday. And we don't know what they're bringing to the table today, do we? So I'm kind of looking forward to that. And I want us to go and get our healthy breakfast. Yes, yes, yes. Let's go get that healthy breakfast. Let us go and tell a friend that we have arrived to the end of the week and Pastor Steph is still on the job, thank God. And make sure you don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
According to a recent survey by the American Optometric Association, more than half of Americans and 4 out of 5 children use electronic devices for 3 or more hours per day. And those statistics will only increase. March is Save Your Vision Month, and the American Optometric Association wants you to see well into the future. It's more important than ever to make sure your family members receive yearly comprehensive eye exams from your local eye doctor. Protect your eye health in the 21st century. Visit AOA.org to learn more.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it's Freestyle Friday. Oh, yeah. We're here, y'all. We're here. By the grace of God, we've made it to the end of the week, and I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I am ready for the end of the week. All right. Well, where do we start today? I thought I had me some, what do you call them things? So I had me a couple of heady things today. And let me see if I just missed it. Because I thought I had set up a couple of petty things. Yep, there we go. So, I was in here last night with Shantice and, you know, looking around. And I was like, we need some, I think I kind of like starting off the morning with our little petty story. So, if you missed an opportunity to share your petty with us, have no fear. We're going to do it one more morning. Well, let's start off with the petty that says, my roommate owed me $10 for the internet, but gave me $7. So I changed the Wi-Fi password so it was 10 digits long and only gave her 7 of them. I told her she could have the rest when she paid me. Man, oh man, oh man. Talk about petty. Okay, here's one that I was like, okay. She says, when my boyfriend and I got into an argument, I took all of the light bulbs from our apartment while he was taking a walk to cool off. I took the one out of the oven, and I even took the vacuum cleaner because it had a light. I left with a bag full of light bulbs and stayed at a friend's house that night. Now, you know what? That is straight petty. That is straight petty. Okay? Well, here's another one. One time my friend said something to annoy me, So I snuck into his house and unstitched all of his crotches in his trousers so they were fragile and kept splitting. Now, y'all, now can you imagine somebody actually going and every time they went to change their pants, oh, my. Oh, y'all, this is straight petty. Oh, my goodness. When I was in the fifth grade, my entire family pissed me off. I had to iron everyone's clothes, so I filled the iron with toilet water. Oh, now that was definitely a good one. Well, you know what I mean. Come on, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, y'all. Now, you know what? I've heard of this one before. When I was in middle school, I hated my mom's boyfriend mostly because he hated my dog. So one day when I was home alone, I took his toothbrush and let my dog lick it. See, this is why I say even when you have stuff at your house, please remove all the toothbrushes. I never understand people who have things at their house and leave things so temperamental as a toothbrush. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I went to my ex's wedding as the best man plus one. You know he ain't no good. The best man ain't no good. Best man ain't no good. Wow. Wow. A coworker I didn't like drank my orange juice and said I should have put my name on it. The next day, I gave him his own orange juice. What he didn't know was that it was water mixed with mac and cheese powder. Wow, y'all, wow. 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 Okay, I got to see if there's some other ones worth reading. I'm almost done. Come on, we have to laugh this week. Wow. Yeah, I don't like those. Those weren't funny. Come on. Did you get an opportunity to share your petty? Wow. Okay. The dream betrayal. My friend once had a dream that I started dating her ex-boyfriend. She wouldn't speak to me for a week afterwards. Wow. Wow. I guess she figured just in case that dream was, you know, God kind of giving her a little. Wow. Well, thank you for letting me share that little funny. I'm happy. I had a couple of laughs this morning. Yeah, we don't get that opportunity. Well, today, we'll get an opportunity to hear from our men. Yeah, we'll get an opportunity to hear from the men and hear if they had a petty or two. You know the women did. You know the women did. It just wouldn't be like a woman if she didn't. All righty? So, all right. You know, I gave you the story about the 83-year-old, serial killer and repeat offender. Well, yeah, we had an instance of they arraigned, and they're trying to get him into jail now. Yes. I saw it last night when I was looking up the news. Yeah, he was arraigned, and they said that they found the torso here of this latest victim, and they found the leg there. Yeah, two blocks away, they found You know, they started finding the body parts all over the place. And, they really going after him. Well, as we said yesterday, that's just a little bit too late. You know, it's a shame when you're going to have to explain how, this person's body was found all over the place because y'all let this man out, or this woman, whoever, let somebody out who was an 83-year-old serial killer. Yeah, I think I'm going to ride that one for a little bit. I'm definitely going to see this one through, because I think some more heads should roll opposed to the 83-year-old, and I really hope that somebody decides to, you know, pick this one up. I really do. So, what else are we talking about in the news today? Well, here, I thought this was kind of interesting. I saw this one this morning. So, you know, it's Daytona Beach Bike Week. And they said 5 motorcyclists was killed in crashes during this week. Yeah. Now, they don't have any proof that it was absolutely, you know, these people were there. But they're looking at the irony, which that's actually why I picked up the story myself. You know, the irony of these people who were killed in motorcycle, incidences. And they said that, you know, they were really trying to, they're really trying to find out if, you know, this is something that is connected. Okay. So they say in the first wreck, a group of 3 motorists was struck by a car Saturday, and 2 of the bikers died, and a 3rd was seriously injured. Now, we know all year long, you know, there's a lot of motorcycle incidences where these people are, these motorcyclists are killed. And I'm like, you know what, every time I hear of someone I know on a motorcycle, I just cringe, okay? They said that on Monday, 2 more motorcyclists lost their lives in separate crashes, one of which took the life of a 39-year-old victim who collided with an SUV. Yeah, and a lot of times that's what happens. It's always these fatalities, you know, motorcyclists versus a car, a truck, okay? They mentioned a 42-year-old rider lost control of the bike and was found in a ditch near New Smyrna Beach. Man, this is bad, because they say last year's event, I think 8 motorcyclists died, and they're still trying to put the pieces together as to whether these individuals were a part of this week. You know, this week's event. I really hope not. Because, you know, you have to remember something. They're drinking a lot. They're reckless on the road. So I'm really hoping that, you know, and there's thousands. There are thousands of motorcyclists. So, you know, you're not talking about a big percentage. But you don't want anyone to lose their life. But you definitely don't want them, you know, losing their life if they're out there acting recklessly. And a couple of them were motorcyclists versus cars. You know, remember, they're out there, there's nothing on to cover their vehicle. There's nothing to cover their body. You know, so it's definite, you know, a definite issue when the motorcycle meets the bigger car. Okay? So, well, you know, I'm getting ready to go on vacation, God spares, and how many of us have been on vacation and maybe we traveled alone, a woman, you know, or it could be a man, you know, but a woman, you know, travels alone. And, you know, these days and times, especially if you buy your, your ticket from like a third party, there's no guarantee that even if you're traveling together that you're going to sit together. Yeah, we found that out the hard way, you know, and having booked, you know, this last set of tickets, you know, I made sure to, you know, had to spend a little extra dollars, but definitely making our business of traveling together, you know, side by side. So I say all of that to say that there was a young lady who purchased a ticket, and, you know, she sat in a two-seater, you know, so it's one of the smaller crafts, and she sat in the two-seater, and she was sitting with a man. And she's a little petite thing here. Yeah, she's a little petite thing. She ain't taking up a whole lot of space and all of that kind of stuff. Well, he did. She said it seemed as though as soon as she sat down, then he started, you know, stretching out and taking up more room and all of this kind of stuff. And she said, you know, she got comfortable. And when she looked over, he had pulled up, he had done, Googled, watching plain porn on your flight. Yeah. And lo and behold, what do you think came up? All of this nastiness, all of these pictures, all of these stories. And, you know, now some might say, don't look. But for those of you who have never been on these smaller crafts, it's a little hard. It's a little hard. Not only that, she's 19, a little petite, cute little thing on the other side of the fence. And when I look over, that's what I see. So needless to say, she's not going to have a whole lot of her attention much else, because you sit next to what you now consider to be a dirty old man. Yeah. Why you got to look that up after I sit down? Not only that, yes, this is your plane ride. Yes, you pay for your ticket. But you're not alone. And it's rude and it's nasty. So I'm sorry. You get no rights. Your rights would have to mean that you would have to have on one of those things that they give the horses, that they put on the horses, where the horses, it blocks the horses' peripheral vision. Yeah, you'd have to have on one of them. You ain't got no rights like that when we sitting in a small little craft. And on this row, it's just me and you. No. So she got up, and she was smart. She was smart because, you know, she didn't want to make a whole lot of noise because you don't know what's going to happen at this point. And you don't know what rights you have, because these days and times, everybody got a right. I don't care how right you are. I don't care how long you are. Everybody got a stinking right. So she got up. She communicated with the flight attendant, and the flight attendant didn't know what to do, she said at first, because, again, everybody got right, so she didn't want to, you know, go and ask him, you know, can you please, you know, put that away, pervert. But she was a smart cook. She was a smart little cookie, another little petite one. And she got there was one seat left in the front, in first class. And she was, you know, she was nice enough to offer her that seat. So, you know, and we don't know how long the ride was going to be. Well, it probably wouldn't have been that ride, because they don't normally, you know, have long rides when you have those little small aircraft. But listen. If I was sitting next to him and the ride was a half hour, that would have been a half hour too long. I want to look at your article. And, yes, I can go to sleep. But, again, do I know how safe I am in this seat? She said, because, oh, that's what she said. She said that slowly he was pushing her up against, you know, by him, you know, like spreading, you know, and stretching out. He was pushing her closer and closer and closer to the wall. Yeah. So am I really going to close my eyes behind this one? Can I really close my eyes around this one? You know what? I ain't taking a chance. And I'm not no little petite thing either. But I'm not taking no chance. I'm not taking no chances. So, she got her little ride in class. Now, one might say, you know, would she have done it for those of us on this side of the fence? And maybe not. But I'm glad that this young lady, like I said, she was only 19 years old. You know, I'm glad that she was able to get some little justice. Okay. So let's be happy for her. Because she really could have run up against where there were no options, you know, and now she's, you know, she's stuck. So, they have this young woman, 28 years old, and, well, is she 28 now, or was she 28 back then? Let's see. Okay, let's see. Well, she could have been 28 back then. No, Stephanie, come on, get that together. Okay, that's why you were interested in the story. All right, so check this out. There's this young lady who's now actually running for office as U.S. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she's running for office. And she, you know, she made her little video and, you know, vote for me and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, what do people do? Well, we just can't leave people alone. So, you know, especially when you're in politics, they go a digging. And what they found was that when she was 18 years old, there was an affair that she had as a college student, 18 years old. She had this affair with this teacher who was 40. And they are trying to rip her apart because they're saying that she was involved with him at the age of 18 when she was a college student. And, you know, what is she capable of doing now? And initially when they approached her, she denied it. She denied it. And afterwards, after they pulled out the text messages and all of this kind of stuff, they had it in a corner. So she couldn't lie and say it wasn't her or it wasn't true. So now they're continuing to put it in her face. And my thing is, okay, so let's look at some details on this thing here. Well, he wasn't married at the time. No. At the time, they were just messing around, and they had some love exchanges. And he then got married to some woman, and they stayed married for, you know, for how long they stayed married for. And she later complained of him, the woman, the wife, complained of his infidelity. So, therefore, she ended up getting a divorce and saying that the reason why she was divorcing him was because of the affair that he had at one time with this young lady, and she used to call all hours of the night, and they were in the bed, and he didn't stop her, for calling all hours of the night, and therefore, you know, I guess that and, listen, they didn't end this marriage because this chick didn't stop calling in the middle of the night. There was more to this story. Now, here's the interesting part. I don't think it's more to the story with this young lady, because they would have loved to itemize that. They didn't. That was the only thing in the court documents that, at least in a couple of articles that I read, that she referenced this young lady and said how she couldn't take it anymore. You know, he was calling late. She was calling late at night, and you know, they were in the bed. That's all she talks about when it comes to this young lady. So she's some hairstylist or something, and, you know, she filed for the divorce, and now that's the petition going on now. Now, they have been married for quite some time. So that's why I say I don't also believe that this was the only thing, because they did not stop the friendship. Now, he did not stop the friendship, but there was nothing else in the claim. So now you're trying to smash her for having this affair with this older man, this teacher. And check this out. So now he somehow connected himself to her campaign. And he's saying that if she should win, he's going to be a part of her campaign crew. So my thing is, well, is she the only one to blame? She wasn't the one who was married. Now, just to cut it out, I'm not saying that she should have been calling the man's house. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, he sounds like he wants to be on for the ride. Yeah. How you still talking? You're the one that lost your marriage, supposedly, over this, what do you call this thing? Over this relationship. Yeah, let's call it that. Over this relationship. And yet, you're saying if she should, you know, win, that you're looking to be a part of her her team. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. She hasn't been messing with you for a while in that manner, because you ain't been married for how many years now? So she ain't been calling your house when it's late. They don't have any proof that the two of them have had a relationship other than just a friendship that did not stop. And it wasn't that, they weren't that tight, if you will. And I'm not giving no excuses. I'm just laying out the facts. They weren't that tight. So when the wife applied for the divorce, he supposedly was a little upset and confused, because, again, all she could say was when they were married and in the relationship, that this woman would not stop calling late at night. How long are we going to run this? So clearly there's more to this story. And their marriage was jacked up. And you know what? She probably wants out anyway. She probably wants out anyway. But the point I was trying to make was, here we are. She, you know, 18 years old is when this was initially done. So what? Who in their lifetime have not, we haven't been guilty of doing something back then that we wouldn't even consider doing right now? Now, one might say they never disconnected, and, you know, but, and there's a large age difference. There's a big age difference, and you're like, well, how much in common could he have had with her that he couldn't let her go, and blah, blah, blah. But like I said, they don't have any proof. They're not saying that over the years they've been inseparable. That's not the claim. That's not the claim. But I'm pointing out, the point of me bringing up was, I want to know how many of us, you know, are not guilty of doing stupid stuff when we're 18, that we're into our careers and, you know, on a new way of living and, you know, now, you know, somebody can bring up something I did when I was 18. And, you know, did we stop when we were 18, 19, and 20? Maybe not. Maybe not. But you can't, you right now, the biggest thing you can say is, you know, back then, you know, I was guilty of not letting go. And think about it. She was a stupid kid. This was a 40-year-old man that had gotten in her head. She wasn't going very far. She wasn't going, and clearly there was some need that she met of his, because he was the one who got married after he started dealing with her. And he couldn't let go either. He couldn't let go so much till he is now, she's 10 years later, she's 28, and he still said, I'm going to be a part of her campaign. So I'm sorry. I want to talk about that today. Let me talk about that today. So we're going to keep on talking, and I'm going to definitely have to give Brother Al the time when he does join us to be a part of this conversation. So there was a teacher in Georgia. Some altercation took place in the classroom, and the teacher subdued the student who presented a gun, a loaded gun. He didn't know it was loaded, but later on they found out that it was loaded. And, what do you think happened? Well, first of all, he was fired. And he was like, are you crazy? I just got finished not only intervening I didn't do anything. He just subdued. But then I subdued somebody who had a loaded gun. Are you serious? And so the only thing they did was back up. He didn't lose his job altogether, but now he's out on suspension. And they don't know if they're going to give him his job back. Whoever took his job, they don't need their job back. This is what we're doing now. Well, I ain't got to tell you what side of the fence is on, right? Absolutely not. I ain't got to tell you what side of the fence is on. I don't have to tell you this at all. This man has officially been suspended. How you feeding your family? How you doing whatever? Because you subdued somebody with a loaded gun. Yeah. But I know Brother Al is probably over there chomping at the bit. Yeah, so Brother Al, slow down. When you finally get on, I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about this, because this is stupid stuff here. There's some stupid stuff going on here. So let me get the man of the moment on. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm doing well. How are you over there?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Not too bad.
That's good. So yesterday I opened up, and this morning I opened up with, you know, some stories of people who had done some real petty, silly things. And the ladies yesterday, you know, of course, ladies always got a petty story. And I wanted to give you an opportunity, you know, to talk about your petty. Now, this could be in your former life. We ain't talking about nothing that happened yesterday. But do you have a petty that you want to share that would make us laugh?
Not really. You know, I was pretty much a good guy.
You know what? Mm-hmm. If your phone starts smoking or your device starts smoking on your end, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. We're going to let Pastor KL get away with the fact that he ain't got a funny. But him being a good guy, we gonna have to pull his, you know, just no, pull his card, because you know he was the one who pegged the phrase "in my former life." So I just wanted to add that in. But that's fine.
You know,
I'm just saying,
forgetting those things which are behind.
You know what? that's Jesus and God. Oh my goodness. All right, but we sure have enough news to talk about. You know, I want to talk about this plane passenger, this 19-year-old young lady, who you know, took her seat, and you know, she took her seat on the plane in this little, you know, on the two passenger side, and she was, you know, noticing that the man that was beside her was stretching, you know, and getting all extra comfortable. And when she looked over at his device, he had Googled sex on a plane while you're on the plane. And all of these things started pulling up about people having sex in the bathroom and all of this here. So she said that he kept prodding her, and now she's up against the wall, and she didn't know what to do, so she went, and she spoke to the flight attendant, and she was able to get a seat in first class. What do you think?
I think, first of all, he has a mental problem, you know, and I think that that's rude, and, you know, the invasion of her privacy, you know, she paid for her seat. She shouldn't have to be subjected to all that nonsense right there. You know, I think he should have been escorted off the plane, to be honest with you.
Well, they were already in the air. He was smart enough to do it after the trip had started.
Wow. Yeah, I think he should have had a fine or some type of violation when the plane landed. I mean, no one should be subjected to that.
Absolutely. I actually agree.
Not only that, you know, sometimes people already have a fear and or phobia of planes. You know, some folks are claustrophobic, you know, and now you've given me this extra. You know what I mean? I can't get off the plane because it's in the air, and now it seems like I'm being targeted, and I really can't get off the plane because it's in the air.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that the two of them were left kind of afraid to approach him, because, again,
right,
everybody has rights these days, and you don't know how he's going to respond, and you already up in the air, you know.
Right.
I honestly agree. You know, he should have to have, he should have had a fine, some reporting, something, when they got off. And you have enough notice time to the people, you know, on the ground to be able to tell them what's going on. And y'all need to put this in place. You need to put this in place, because nobody should have to be subjected to this.
And why didn't he research that at his home prior to boarding the plane?
Because it wasn't.
Why
does
anybody need to be subjected to your research?
Because it was no research. He knew exactly what he was doing when he typed in and Googled sex on the plane while the trip was going, while we're in the air. Or it wasn't just
right.
Sex on the plane. It was sex on the plane while we're on the ride or something to that effect. So yeah, that was your research. That's why your research couldn't be done at home, because you wanted to look at this while you were in the air, you creep.
Right.
So
I say
start with this and make this a charge from now.
Right.
Now, let me see what you want. Okay. So you have this eight. I'm gonna go. I want to save that one for last. You have this teacher who, you know, stops the fight by subduing. Didn't do anything wrong. Just subdued the student, especially when he saw that the student had a gun, and come to find out that the student had a loaded gun. So now you get fired. But when you get your attorneys and you push, and now they have left you with a suspension. So you are still suspended even after they understand that you stopped someone from possibly being killed. And not only that, Pastor Kale, you could have been killed yourself.
Right. Right. So here I am, and I didn't sign up to be bulletproof or to be target practice. But while your argument on one side can be, well, you risk the lives of other folks, my argument could be, look how many lives I done saved.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But now that I've saved these lives, you know, now you want to discipline me. So I could have just let mayhem happen in the school, and everybody got shot. Then what?
Right.
Okay, I would have still had my job, or I might have been dead with a job.
Right. Absolutely. And the saddest part about it is the stand that they're taking. Let me make sure I read this right, because I couldn't figure this one out to save my life. It says the district administration does not support Mr. Miller's actions relating to this event and believes his conduct failed to meet the professional expectations it has for employees. Mr. Miller inappropriately intervened in a student matter being handled by school administrators and law enforcement. Mr. Miller acted outside of the scope of his authority and responsibilities. That's what they're standing on.
And to me, again, it's a double standard. Okay, let me compare it to something, if I will. You know, for most of people know, I work in retail. And the retail law is, if you see someone putting something in their bag, you can't really approach them until they get to the door, because technically they haven't stolen it. But now, if they get out the door, you can't go out the door after them. So
wow.
you can't chase them out the door, because then that's beyond the scope of the business. But as long as they put it in their pocket or they conceal it, they haven't stolen it until they walked out of the door. So the catch-22 is, you want me to protect the assets of the company, but you keep my hands tied.
Wow. That's crazy. That is straight crazy.
They say that if you walk out the door to catch them, somebody could be in the car and shoot you. You know what I mean? But while they're walking through the store just putting a bunch of stuff in their pocket, you know, you can't do nothing. Now, me, I say, hey, you need a buggy, you need a basket, or you ready to pay for that stuff you put in your pocket? You know, kind of stuff.
Okay. So when you've approached people and said, hey, you need a buggy, or what's the other thing you say?
Do you want a basket, a hand basket, are you ready to pay for that stuff you put in your pocket?
Okay, so when you have said that, what's some of the responses you've gotten?
You know, it depends on what side of the fence they are. You know, if they're on our side of the fence, you know, anybody on our side of the fence, swear you think you're following them and you think that they're a thief anyway. You know what I mean? So it's a whole other approach, you know. If on the other side of the fence, they so scared, you know what I'm saying, of this big black man that they put the stuff in the basket. It's different depending on where, you know, what side of the fence you're with. You know,
wow.
If it's Bunquisha, she don't argue with you. I ain't got nothing. What do you want to pick the basket for? Well, you know, for that soap pot you put in your pocket.
Oh, my gosh. You know, leave it up to us to always draw the race card. Leave it up to us to always make a scene. Leave it up to us to not be humble and just, you know what? I didn't even realize that, you know, I had this. I mean, as crazy as it sounds sometimes, you know, I remember the other day Shantice was leaving the store. We were talking, and she was leaving the store. She was like, oh. And I said, well, what happened? And she said, I had to come back in the store because I didn't realize that I still had the wrapping paper inside the cart that I hadn't even paid for. And, you know, it happens. There are things like that, you know, that happen sometimes. It's not that somebody's always targeting you and all of this kind of nonsense you got going on. But leave it up to us.
I'm surprised we don't have more black actors and actresses. Oh, these folks are dramatic. don't let it be on our side of town. If we was on the white side of town, this would not have happened. You wouldn't be following me. You wouldn't be chasing me. You're right, because you wouldn't be on the white side of town.
Right, because you stick out like a sore thumb, you dope.
Exactly.
You ain't going over there. Because you're sticking out like a sore thumb, and they already impaired you for doing what you do. Unfortunately.
Right. And the crazy part about that, Pastor Steph, is that, you know, they complain about how the white man keeps us down. But then when you have black people who have elevated into positions, you still mad at him. You still want this crab in the basket type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You won't let, as the young folks would say, you won't let me be great. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Because I know you stealing. So I should let you steal from me. You know, my thing is that as a black shopper, you know, you should want me to be great, and you shouldn't want to steal from me.
No. Pastor Kale, come on now. Because at the end of the day, you know what they're going to throw up in your face. This ain't your stuff, no way. You don't own this. You working for the white man.
Right. Absolutely right.
You know, yeah, it's always another level. That's the point I'm trying to, you know, like you said, you're at this level, they mouthing off. You go to the next level, they mouthing off. You go to the next level, they still got something to say. So, like you said, you know, you get to that point, and then you got to hear all of the other part where, you know, this ain't your stuff, no way. You walk around here acting like you own it. You really don't own it. You working just like I am. And, oh, my gosh, I can't.
You're not.
Wait, say that again?
I pay for your products, but you don't.
Right.
And it's always the people who are working who has money that wants to shoplift.
Wow.
You'd be surprised at little grandma, you know, who you know got money, you know, who's stealing. You'd be surprised at the strollers that come in with no baby in it and leave with twins. You would be surprised at the stuff that I see. I'm like, well, where's the baby?
Wow.
We left the baby at aisle 9.
You know, I would be so afraid of getting caught. I would be so afraid. Okay, so Pastor KL, I gotta tell you this little story. I must have been in about maybe the fourth grade. And me and my sister decide we're going to play hooky with this other girl. So my sister and I, my mother used to dress us alike all the time. I guess because of the closeness is the age. And so the two of us had on a denim jumper, and it had a pocket in the breast part, right in the front. Right in the front there was a pocket. So this is back in the days when you had the pickle in a bag. So
we got hungry
during the day. Now, why I decide I'm going to steal a pickle, I don't know, because to this day, I don't like pickles. So I'm trying to figure out what that was about. So already you could tell I wasn't a good thief. So why could I make this steal the stuff that I like? I steal a cake. I just steal chips. I stole a pickle in a bag. So everybody, you know, when we go in the store, this is the plan, to steal. So, you know, we all stuff, you know, wherever we're going to stuff it. So we get ready to walk out the door, and lo and behold, here goes this big black security guard. Hey, what you got in your pocket? I'm like, what pocket? He's like, right there. And, you know, he's not going to touch me because of where the pocket is positioned on the dress. So he was like, right there. He said, take it out your pocket. So I take it out, I'm crying, Pastor Gil, I'm crying. So he sees the accomplices, and he stops them, and they wouldn't have gotten caught if it weren't for me. Because by the time they whipped their stuff out, they actually had to go digging for their stuff. And the point I'm trying to make is, I ain't never been good at stealing. So I get so afraid. And I always tell people, my mother and father never had to discipline me for anything twice. I never stole again. I never thought about stealing again. When I tell you I was traumatizing, man, I cried for about a week in silence because I kept thinking about, man, if my mother ever found out that I was in here stealing, she would have killed me. Yeah. So even like now, I'm paranoid when I'm going, you know, leaving the store, because sometimes I'll shop with my personal shopping cart, and I've already been to one store. So you should see me scrambling through the thing. Let me make sure I ain't got an orange that then fell up in here. No, none of this, because it's traumatizing. So I don't understand who get caught. And now you're going to be basing up in people's face. You know, my thing is, man, you ain't scared to go to jail. Shut up. Be humble. Let them tell you to leave about the store like when I was in the fourth grade and never go back in that store again. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. See, I would ask you for the petty of when you tried to steal, but see, you know, you were always perfect, so I wouldn't get no real story out of you. So,
well, you know what? Back in my days, my stealing was a little different. You know, I knew people. See, I wasn't a potato chip or cheese doodle stealer. You know, I knew people who worked for Rent-A-Center and stuff like that. You know, And I would give them money to go bring me a TV. You know what I'm saying? I always had, and maybe it was wrong, but I always had this mentality that if I'm going to jail, this is for something big. I can't tell Big Bubba I'm in jail for Snickers. You know what I'm saying? I had to be able to tell the story that I got away with a plasma. You know what I'm saying? It was a little different from me. You know, I wasn't going to do the pickle in the bag, baby. You can put that on my books once I get there.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, you think about some of the stupid stuff you've done, and that kind of takes me into the segue of this, our last story here. With the young lady at 18 who, you know, was guilty of having initially the affair with the college professor, and then, you know, he happened to be how many years older, Well, after he got married, and it didn't last much longer after that, the affair. It was a different type of affair at that point. And, you know, they stopped. But they were very friendly. So she would constantly call him late at night. And, you know, now she needs advice and all of this kind of stuff. Well, she's running for office now. And the wife of this man, I don't know if he's a professor anymore, but she's filed for divorce, citing that way for adultery. And her argument is way back when they were married and together that this girl would not stop calling and he kept taking her calls late at night, even while they were in the bed, and she couldn't take it anymore. So, you know, they ended up splitting up, and then now that she's finally, you know, putting through this divorce paper, you know, that's the issue. And I guess now that's also her way of getting back at this young lady who's now 28, who's running for some type of office. And my thing is, which one of us at 18 have not done something stupid that we regret when we get older? And, you know, now, of course, you're trying to smash her with her history. Well, you're talking about an 18-year-old young lady who's in college. This man just somehow, you know, talked to her, and she didn't mess around, and they didn't got into a relationship. And the only thing they were able to really pull were love exchanges on text, you know, from text messages and emails. That's what it's also. So I wanted your thought on, you know, the then in our lives and the now in our lives, the things that we do. You know, you were getting plasma TVs. I was putting pickles in my pocket. You know, but we wouldn't do that now. You know, you're later in your years. You don't think the same. Your agenda in life is not the same. You know, well, let's talk about that for a little while until Brother Al joins us.
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm not into plasmas anymore, but a nice LED would be okay. But, you know, plasma is not. but this is what I've learned, especially, you know, after becoming a minister, then a pastor. A lot of people will always hold on to your past. You know, they will never think that you've been delivered. They will never think that you've grown up. You know, my mama still sees me as her little son. You know what I mean? I mean, some things people just can't get past. And when you hit a soft spot in someone, they really won't get past it. You know, apparently this woman, you know, she was hurt from this, hurt really bad. You know, and she couldn't let it go. Now, it was far over, and she knew it was over. But she never got her due, if that's what I can say. She never got her due. You know, so at this point, when this woman is going for an office, this is her time to get her due. You know, now the crazy part about it is, you know, you said she done got divorced, and all that's over, too. So, I mean, why are you still digging into the past? You know, now I will blame the ex-husband, you know, not for the affair. I mean, we all know that was wrong, but you gave her too much power to call you late at night while you're married.
You already
know that is a sore spot with your wife, you know what I mean, from this woman. And now you allow her to call you late in the midnight hour. That just opens up more cans, you know, more worms. It may not be going on, and she might be rightfully just calling for advice. But respectful is respectful. You know, you just don't do that as a friend, never sleeping with him, let alone someone who has history. You know what I mean? So yeah, he never put a pin in that. You know, so it just brought more doubt, and now she's really, you're fueling the fire. So, you know, you've given the side piece, or the ex-side piece more power than you giving me your wife who you live with.
Right.
So now she's like, okay, you got me. You broke up my house. Now I'm going to break up your campaign.
That's right. That's right. That's what it's coming from. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, Pastor Kale. Couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and getting us jump-started into our conversation. Let's give Brother Al an opportunity to talk about this teacher before we move forward. Good morning, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Jeremiah 29, love him, the Lord. That's why I know the plan I have for you. Period. Another period. And just sit back and let him do what he did. Oh, yeah. Morning, Pastor.
Oh. Good morning, Brother Al. So here's your assignment for the weekend.
Okay.
Learn the rest of that verse.
Oh, I can do that. Hey. See, I try to do the short version. You know, Pastor Steph, you always bother me. Don't make me come over to the house, please.
Are you?
You know, I try to do the short version to get straight to the point. You know what I'm saying? I try to do the short version to get straight to the point. Oh no, you don't want that.
We don't need no brand new listener coming on thinking that that's how the verse goes. Period.
No, I said period, which means at the end of the sentence, it's a period.
So we go. That's your assignment for the weekend. When you come back on Monday, if you plan to quote this verse, you will have to quote it from the beginning to the end, and then you can say, "Pay." And I.
Okay, you want to play like that? You want to play like that? How about I just do the whole book of Jeremiah? You want to play rough? Start at chapter 1.
You know what, Brother Al? If you could run down the whole book of Jeremiah, I promise you I would sit back and let you do it. Bad, brother.
I never said anything about memorizing it. I can read it. I got the Bible right here. I ain't said nothing about memorizing. I said I can do it.
Oh, my God. Well, thank you for joining us this morning, Brother Al. Before we move on, I want to give you an opportunity to weigh in on this Georgia teacher who is now still suspended over this issue that he went past his responsibilities and subdued this student with the loaded gun.
Okay. Now, you know what happened? I heard some of it because, you know, the kids get noisy at times, but I did hear something about a gun. Can you just give me a short version of it?
Okay. So you have this teacher who stepped in and he subdued a student that was fighting, especially when he saw the young man have a gun. At that time, I guess you don't know it's loaded, but he stepped in, he subdued the guy. The child. Now, he initially was fired because they said that he overstepped his bounds and he intervened where he should not have. Then after, you know, getting an attorney and pressing, they stepped it back to a suspension. And he's still suspended now because... He's still on administrative leave now until they get this thing all straightened out.
Okay. You know, Pastor Stephanie, you spoke a few times about the situation in the school, and it's like you're wrong if you don't help and you're wrong if you help, you know, and that's the bad part of it. You know, like you said, he didn't know that the gun wasn't loaded or whatever the case may be, but he could have saved that child's life by intervening, and they're not looking at that, you know, and it's so sad because even with me here working at the school, I break up no fight. I let security do it. If security's on the third floor, I'm on the first floor, then these kids will fight until security comes because you breaking up something. And somebody always got something to say. One guy here at my school, he broke up a fight. He held one of the kids back. The main thing is to go subdue the aggressor. And he did that. The other child mother said, oh, you're holding my child so the other kid can hit him. So you lose regardless. So what I've learned and what they put in place is what we do, we make sure the crowd stand back. And nobody jump in, get out the way, and security come howling. And that's sad that they going after that man. He could have saved that kid's life because, again, he pulled out the gun. Nobody knows if it's loaded or not. All we saw was a gun. So he thought it's a duo. So that's just crazy.
Wow. So wait a minute. So all you could do is hold the crowd back? So then if there's a knife or anything, a child could be stabbed to death?
That's the way they got it because people are scared to lose their job. I mean, as far as me, if you know what, like I said, everybody's different. But as far as me, if I could save a child's life, I'm going to do it. Now, if you want to fire me, you do whatever you need to do, and I'm going to try to sue you or whatever the case. But if I can save a life, somebody pull out a knife, and I know he's going to, and I know I can overpower him to die, I'm going to do it. But you got some people, they're so terrified that they say, listen, what I was told to do is manage the crowd, make sure nobody jumps in, make sure nobody else gets hurt. And we call on the radio, which is 52, and you say, well, you have 52 minutes of fight. So you might say 52 cafeteria, and you got to wait for security to get there. Your job is to hold the crowd back. Me, if I can save a child's life, I'm doing it.
Wow. You know, they really have gotten to the point where they tied your hands in the school.
Yeah.
Now, like I said,
yeah,
come to find out, this gun was loaded. So he did probably save someone's life. You know what I'm saying? You know, and it's funny because I don't know if either one of you gentlemen the other day saw there was a kid in the school on our side of the fence. He runs and he jumps on a young lady's back, crossing around. And out of his book bag falls a gun. Now, the two staff members that are standing there, they don't really see this at first because of the way, of the positioning. But when he hurried up and he ran it, by the time he snatched it up, they did see it. So here's why I'm bringing this up about this subduing. Because when they spotted that he picked up the gun, they tried to hold him back. And it's like almost like, what did you, you know, you can't hear, but you could almost imagine he's saying, like, What's that you picked up? And he's pushing past the first guy who's not really holding him. He's just got his hand, like, mildly out to keep him from going past him. So the other staff member comes, and he does it. You could tell that he doesn't want to hold him. So he tries to kind of back him up with his body. And at the end of the day, because they could not hold him, he walked out. Because he could not, they couldn't hold him, he ended up running out of the school. And the last thing was they were chasing him. They were looking for him. So here you didn't let a child get out of school, get out the school, with a low, possibly loaded real gun. They don't know if the gun was real. They don't know if the gun was fake. Because, like I said, by the time the guy spotted him picking it up, he was like, what is that? Like, the movement, he was, like, already pushing past him. So, you know, you really have tied these people's hands and endangered the community.
And let me tell you, Pastor, as being a male working in school, I dare not break up a female fight. I break up a female fight, oh, you touched her. What are you talking about? I had to touch her to break up the fight. So I'm telling you, they have our hands so tied. So, dang, like I said, if I don't see a weapon, then I do what I'm supposed to do. I hold the crowd back. And it's bad because this aggressor might be way stronger than the person and beating that person to a pulp. But if I jump in and do that, all type of stuff going. It's sad.
Wow. This is really just so out of control. So out of control. And now, you know, you have a person who was willing to step in and help and do what he was supposed to do. Forget about the rule. You were supposed to separate when you saw that there was a gun, and you would actually penalize someone for this, and nobody's claiming they got hurt, no nothing, but all because you went past the rule. This is a mess here. This is one big mess, and to know that, first of all, your negligence of even allowing a kid to get the gun in the school. How'd the gun get in the school?
Right, and they're not thinking about the teacher's life. He put his life in danger because you're going to sue somebody who has a gun, so his life is in danger.
Right. You know, and that's what I'm saying. He's approaching the matter. He doesn't know if the gun is loaded or not, but he still takes the brave route, and he says, you know what, I'm stepping in, plain and simple as that. And now you're without a job. You're suspended. Like, you were the one who walked in the school with a gun. I don't know. And you know what? Let me ask you something, Brother Al. What do they do when, you know, everything is in the security, school safety's hands at that point? They carting them out. They're pursuing. What do they do with the kids that they find have guns on them?
That's when they call the police. They do call security, make sure what's going on. Then they call police and police come.
Okay, right, because now it's a criminal, it's a full criminal issue. Okay, all right. I don't know, gentlemen, I don't know. Let me ask you two
things. Can I ask Brother Al a question, Pastor Steph?
Sure.
Brother Al, so the security that they call, are they armed security? Or they just security with a stick trying to get a guy with a gun?
No, they don't have a stick. They have a flashlight. They're not armed. Flashlight cops. So this guy got a gun, and you hoping that you shine the flashlight in your face. And, you know.
Pastor Steph, I'm not trying to be a wimp, but I think I'd be letting that guy get out of school, too.
Well, you know what? You know what? At this point, Pastor KL, I really can't blame you. I can't blame them. Because when you're listening to all these rules and regulations and the penalties, you have to ask yourself, is it worth it?
Right.
So I'm actually with you. I'm really not against you. Now, I wanted to ask, did you finish asking your question, Pastor KL?
Yes, that was my question, yes.
Oh, okay. As dad, somebody calls you to the school, and you find out your son has a gun. How do you move forward, Brother Al, as a father?
Man, you know, I'm going to try to be calm with you. I doubt it. But where did you get a gun from, and why did you feel you had to take a gun to school? I'm going to hear him out first before I react to that. Like, and then after whatever excuse or whatever you say, then I'm just going to get up. Are you crazy? Are you insane? Are you serious? And because 9 times out of 10, when he get that gun, they're going to look at the parent. That's the first thing. If that's your gun, do you know if you have the gun, was it secure? And, you know, they're gonna lock him up. And I'm going to let him sit there for some hours and think about what he did. You're going to sit here for a while. Think about what you did.
Wow. Okay. Brother Pastor Cal, as a dad, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, as a dad, I'm just like, Al, I'm going to try to figure out, try to ask the questions. You know, why do you have a gun? Where did you get this gun from? You know, I mean, what was the purpose of it? What were you planning on doing with this gun? You know, I remember in my former life, I used to carry a knife just to carry a knife, just to be cool. You know, I mean, I wasn't planning on stabbing nobody. And you know what? If I got into a fight, I'd probably be too scared to stab them. You know, so I'd want to know in his mind, you know, is there some type of insecurity? Did you get rushed into a gang? You know, what is the underlying issues of this stuff? But then, you know, the second thing is, okay, you want to play man games, then you go to man jail. and then we'll sit there and maybe you can understand that what you did really wasn't worth it. Because, again, you know, like Brother Al says, you know, the reflection is on me also. You know, I'm already in my feelings, in my emotion, like, where did I fail him? You know, why did he think he needed a gun? You know, but you know, sometimes it ain't you. It's not what the parent does, and you have to get over that. And they have to be able to suffer the consequences of the decisions that they make.
Okay. Thank you for answering that. Well, you know, gentlemen, that the three of us have been following this Jussie Smollett case. You know, in our conversation, may not be something that you want to talk about, but Pastor Steph did. And we've spoken about this a few times. Now, going back, let me make sure I read my stuff properly. Remember, Jussie Smollett is the actor from Empire. And he faked or was found guilty of faking a hate crime and an attack where he said that, you know, these two people, you know, they approached him and, you know, they attacked him. And at the end of the day, it was a hate crime because he was a homosexual. And, you know, he later on, the guys who he supposedly hired ratted him out. And after they kept asking questions and things like that, and the answers weren't coming up the way they expected them to. So he was he went to court, and he was found guilty of lying about this hate crime. So the sentencing was yesterday. The sentencing was yesterday. And let me get my little thing out here. The judge, before he handed down his sentence, you know, he gave him an opportunity to speak, and he did. And what I did not realize was at one point, he actually, they said he took the stand in his own defense, and I actually didn't realize that. But when they asked him what did he want to say, here's what he said before the sentencing. I am not suicidal. I am innocent, and I'm not suicidal. If I did this, then it means that I shoved my fist in the fears of Black Americans in this country for over 400 years and the fears of the LGBTQ community. Your Honor, I respect you, and I respect your decision, but I did not do this, and I'm not suicidal. If anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself, and you must all know that. So when I was reading this, I'm like, why did he say he ain't suicidal? What's the matter with him? And it wasn't until it clicked later I realized what he meant. So the judge hands down the sentence, but not before saying, you're not a victim of a racist hate crime. You're not the victim of a homophobic hate crime. You're just a charlatan pretending to be the victim of a hate crime, and that's shameful especially. So he was sentenced to, why do I always bury this information? Because I want to make sure I get this information correctly. Well, he got both. He got jail time of like 150 days, and then he got not community service. He's on probation for like a certain amount of time. So I wanted to first address this issue of I'm not suicidal. Brother Al, what do you think he was after with this I'm not suicidal? What do you think the point was he was trying to make? Okay, maybe Brother Al can't talk.
Oh, yeah, oh, he was talking. I thought you were talking to Kay outside. There's something going that I was taking. With him saying I'm not suicidal, I think he's trying to convince himself. because I didn't hear anybody say that you may think about committing suicide or you suicidal. I think he's trying to convince himself, hey, listen, no, I'm not suicidal. Don't think that way. Don't think that way. And he started saying it out loud because I didn't hear anybody say anything about he might be suicidal. So I think he's trying to convince himself that, hey, listen, I'm not suicidal. And let me let the world know I'm not suicidal.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, what do you think is behind this continual, I'm not suicidal, I'm not suicidal, blah, 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 I'm not suicidal? What do you think he was trying to get at?
I think he was saying that if you put me in this jail, somebody's going to kill me. And I don't want no one to place it that he killed himself, that I killed myself. I'm not suicidal. I don't want to die. You know, no matter how much grief this has caused in my life, it has not pushed me to the point of suicidal. So if by some crazy chance I die, no, I didn't kill myself. No, no, that somebody killed me.
Okay, okay. Well, that's what I figured out. It was driving me crazy. I kept rereading the article. I was like, well, where in the world did the suicide thing came from? And then I was like, wait a minute. If he thinks he's in some level of danger, or if he's trying to put out there that he's in some level of danger, he's putting out right now, just like you said, Pastor Carol, like, hey, don't let them people come back telling you later that I committed suicide. Because I'm not suicidal. I love my life. Whatever happened, happened. What didn't happen. But I'm not going to do nothing to myself. So
right.
I actually do believe. And then when I read it again afterwards, and he says, Your Honor, I respect you and I respect your decision, but I did not do this and I'm not suicidal. If anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself, and you must all know that. So
right.
You don't know if this is a serious. First of all, we know that crazier things have happened. Number two, we know that, you know, if you already think he's a liar, then that, you know, that puts a whole entirely different spin on this thing here. But I also wanted to say, okay, so here's the sentencing. He was sentenced to 30 months of probation. The first 5 he must spend in the Cook County Jail, and ordered to pay the city of Chicago $120,000 in restitution and a $25,000 fine after he was found guilty on the 5 counts of felony disorderly conduct. So, do you think the punishment fits the crime, Brother Al?
Man, I'm sorry. Go to Pastor Kel. I'm missing some of the story because I got some things going on here. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Pastor Kel, what do you think? Does the punishment fit the crime?
I guess so. I mean, I think 100 something. You said million?
100 what? You know what? You
did you say 100 something million dollars restitution?
That's what I'm saying.
What?
You ain't been paying attention either. $120,000 in restitution.
Oh, okay, $120,000. I mean, for me, $100 is a lot. So I guess $120,000. That sounds like a lot to me. But I guess for him, it'd be all right. The 5 months in jail, yeah, I think that's all right. But think about everything he's saying. You only going to be in jail for 150 days, and you think you're going to die. So the mental anguish by itself, yeah, that's enough for me. Because every day you think it's going to be the day. When you got to convince everybody around you that you ain't suicidal, you walking in there, you know, on death row, on the green mile.
Right, or in your head. You're right. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You know, okay.
So that within itself is a lot.
Yeah, that's weighing on you mentally. You know, let me help you with the restitution part, because they've been talking about this from the very beginning. The issue with them and why they went after him was because they didn't believe that after all this, the claims, and after they did all this investigating and all this research, they didn't believe the story. So what they said was, you owe this city the money they spent in investigating.
Right.
That's where the restitution comes from. So that's why I was also asking, does the punishment fit the crime? Because how often does this happen and y'all go after these people for restitution?
Exactly. I mean that still seems to be a lot of money, but I guess, you know, if you did that much work, you know, I guess you want your money back. But that's a lot of money. And then you got to kind of ask yourself, as him, was this worth the lie?
Right.
I mean, look at all the stuff
we're
going through right now. Was it worth the lie? You got to stay in jail. You think there's a murder for hire, you know, and then if they don't kill you, if jail don't kill you, they going to kill your pockets when you get out.
Yep. Because they talked about him potentially not having to do any time, that he would immediately go back and start working again. So, because you need to recoup this money that these people looking for you to pay. And I promise you one thing, they're going to make sure you pay it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it gained interest, fines, all kind of penalties. And at the end of the day, it still ain't going to be $120,000.
But my question now, and maybe people don't see it this way, but who's hiring you now? You're a liability.
Right.
I can't trust you. You're going to be working in the kitchen somewhere.
Yeah, that's going to be a big challenge. There's going to be this big challenge. Now, because that's what the he lost his empire spot, remember us saying, and a couple of other deals that he had in the music area, he lost the deal. And so he already is at a loss. Now, one thing about this industry, first of all, he's young. So he's going to have all those youth back him. Number two, let's be frank. If you in the LGBTQ community, you ain't gonna be out of job for long. Me and you might be out of a job. But
you know
for a person who is as talented as he is, and who, if you hire him, he does the job. You know, he's never been a slouch in that department. So, and he's not a slouch in the music department. So, remember now, behind the scenes, it's heavily run by your community. You ain't going to be out of a job very long.
Well, the only thing I can see, to be honest with you, if he wants to do producing, you know, if his stuff for a long time going to have to be behind the scenes. I just can't see him going into Broadway. You know what I mean?
No.
And
you're absolutely right. You're right. Because, again, the other day's post was, you know what? He was already scheduled to direct some movie and something else with some music. And you ain't got to be seen to sell your music, but you do have to be seen to act. And I agree with you 100%. But again, like I said, your community got your back. So when he was already scheduled to do the directing, and sure enough, they showed, you know, the guy who was who had written the movie and blah blah blah, the person behind the one with the decision making ability behind the scenes. Oh, he was shown. He had his picture up there. They had his picture up there, and he's the one who's the power that be behind this, you know, this film that's being directed. And, you know, he's looking to jump back into that. Oh, yeah, they got you. Oh, yeah, they got you. Like you said, wow, that may be where you have to go, but they got you. They got you.
Mm.
Oh, you. Mm. This ain't you and I, brother. This ain't us. This ain't us.
I know that's right.
This ain't us. Will we be out there with a can and a cup?
And a fire, don't
forget the fire. That's right. This ain't us. This ain't us. Brother Al, I'll give you a chance to give some closing comments right before we close down. What you got for us?
Yeah, you know, that's absolutely insane. You know, first of all, he was on one of the biggest shows. The ratings on Empire were so high, it was ridiculous. So I don't know why he felt I got to fabricate this so that I can, you know, get more ratings or whatever the case may be. I don't understand why he felt to do that. So now, again, you've risked, you done lost everything because you done done that. Like, your sponsors, you done got kicked off the show. You know, so he lost everything for some nonsense. You know what I'm saying? And like you say, you know, yes, he do. But, you know, also, too, they need to have that as a record, not just because it's on the outside of the fence, but everybody. You know how many people in line and say, yo, this black man did this, and then it was nothing, and they walked scot-free. Anybody who lied about a crime should pay. And so, yeah, and like I said, $120,000, that's like $10 for him. But, yeah, pay it. This will learn you.
All righty. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for contributing to the conversation and sending us out with some stuff to think about. We pray you have a blessed day.
You too. You do the same.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's take our little quick moment here to go before the Lord and hold hands and hold hearts. All right. Oh, Heavenly Father, Father of our past, Father of our present, and definitely Father of our future, we give you thanks, God. Thank you for just waking us this morning to see a beautiful, brand new day, God, with brand new possibilities, brand new promises, and brand new hopes. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us to come safely through the week. And we are still here together, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for maintaining jobs, maintaining homes, maintaining health, everything, dear Heavenly Father, that you do and only you can do alone. Thank you, God, for holding It's Due Time with Pastor Steph together, God, so we can be the light in the beginning of the day for how many lives, God. And I pray that we continue to lay ourselves on the altar, God, understanding that you want to use us. There's a desire to use us, but that we would lay ourselves on the altar, dear Heavenly Father, so that we could be used, that we are always in the ready, willing, and able mode, that there's nothing that you have to skirt around us for because we're not in our proper place. So we thank you, God, for just loving us in a special way. We thank you, God, for our loyal listeners and our family, God. We thank you, God, for the brand new people who just logged on today. We don't know how they got here, but we thank you, and we pray that something we said, something that you filtered through us, dear Heavenly Father, was a blessing to them, and they would want to just continue to return. Lord, we're going to lift up all of the people who were in the news this morning, God, the young lady who's trying to push her way forward, God, and trying to do something positive. We're praying, dear Heavenly Father, for the passenger on the plane, dear Heavenly Father, you know, that she can now you know, move forward, and there's nothing that she's afraid of or leery about, God. We're praying for all of the motorcyclists who lost their families, where they lost their lives, dear God. And we're praying that you continue to keep them safe and that there would be no more fatalities, God. We pray for Jussie Smollett, God, that whatever happened behind the scenes, God, whatever's going on, that you would turn it and him around, God. At one point, you know, he says he's a man of God. Well, Lord, we pray that he walk in that. We pray that he talk it. We pray that he walks and talks only a righteous way of living. And before he was on the TV and on film and, you know, he's doing this and he's doing that, God. And as he's trying to find his way back into this community of work, let him first try to find his way back to you, God. That's what really matters. So we're trusting you, God, for the greatest things that could ever be going on in his life. And we won't hesitate to give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do your name. We ask you to just bless each and every one of us as we go through the weekend, God, and that we would not step away from you to do whatever it is that we plan to do. And we look forward to gathering back together one more time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, we want to give God thanks because, again, you know, he's just so unselfish, so loving, so giving. You know, he always has our best interest at heart. And, you know, I want to say that God that picks us up and brushes us off and gives us another chance to get it right. Thank you. Thank you. That's what all of these stories, most of these stories were really about today. Just that renewed opportunity to just shake off whatever wasn't done. The only thing, you know, we can't say is, you know, for the ones who lost their lives in the motorcycle accidents. However, for all of the thousands of motorcyclists that are left here, that they would become a little more cautious. So there is another opportunity, because how many of them should have been dead? But God said no. He picked them up and put them on a path. And I pray that they see it. I pray that they won't just brush off their knees, you know, and their arms and their clothes, and, oh, you know, it's not me. It's not me. You know, for the teacher who stood up, you know, who went in a different direction than other teachers have, we give God thanks for him, and we pray that God would open up the doors. And you know what? You know, one of the things that we, you know, learn is, you know, sometimes God will close that, you know, that door because he has something better for us. And the only way we could have even focused on something different is because that door was closed. And God kept us from going into, you know, a direction that would not have been pleasing to him any longer. You've served your purpose there because he has something else for you to do. But if, as long as you're there, you know, you can't see it. You would not pursue it because you were already comfortable and stable. So, you know, we pray that whatever God has for him, he understands it and he sees it. And, you know, nothing like this happens in your life for nothing. Nothing. Nothing in your life happens like this for nothing. This doesn't work like that. You know, if you know God, you know that there's always something he's up to. So, you know, when we look at our own life, when we reflect on our own life, you know, a lot of times we are not, forgiving. You know, we're hard on people. And like Pastor Chaos did, you know, for this ex-wife to now take dibs and stabs into this woman's career, you know, she wants to get, you know, her vengeance. She wants to get revenge. And we want to make sure that that's not on our agenda. Let the Lord fight our battle. That we make sure that our hands are clean from wanting to do anything. God says, vengeance is mine. You know, every time we go after vengeance, we always get in trouble. We always get in trouble. And you know, if you let God take care of his business, that you won't go wrong. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong if you let the Lord do what he is supposed to be doing, and only he is supposed to be doing. You know, hopefully we all have that story in our, or those stories in our former life. You know, that we're not out here today calculating, you know, how we can make it happen. You know, we're going to set something or somebody straight. You know, because once we start that, our hands instantaneously become dirty. We don't even have to worry about, you know, carrying the deed out. Remember, we just got finished covering yesterday. That God sees everything you do. You can't hide. So just because the deed is not done ultimately, that don't mean a thing. You still going to have to pay for just the plotting and the scheming. And you better go give God thanks that at least that other part was not carried out. So, you know, so even an earthly, you know, offense wasn't committed, you know, because God will have his mercy according to his will. And man ain't trying to come behind you with mercy the way, you know, God would. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything we're supposed to do. Okay? So don't get your hands dirty. Don't get your hands dirty by, you know, sitting back and pondering and planning and, you know, because you need to see, you know, what happens with this person. You need to see that, you know, this got to happen while you can see it. And that's another reason why we get into so much trouble, because we have to see it. We don't trust God. Trust God. Trust God. You know, for Jussie Smollett, who was upset because he didn't feel like he was being paid enough, or he wasn't getting enough notoriety, trust God. You said you're a man of God. Trust God. And leave all of that to him. Because when God is ready to do the in and give the increase, he will. So you're not going to be cheated out of anything. Trust God. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down. Thank you, men, for sending us into a weekend with some thought-provoking things. Oh, thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us all week and just being our support system. Please do not neglect the opportunity to give God your life right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, God spares, where we meet at the table. Come on in the room and give that prayer request. I have no idea what the theme will be, but it will be something that God has chosen. Oh, until then, God spares our life. I love you.